Downstairs is a donation box. And I'm calling you as the pastor of this church to give generously to this great and awesome ministry. It's not the only one in America, but it's one of the good ones. One of the godly ones. And so I would appeal to you as your pastor to give liberally to these awesome people that they may further this ministry for the glory of King Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? So that's downstairs. And that's all I have to say about that. Okay? I do need to do some announcements real quick, and then we're going to pull out the Colonial Pulpit for the Colonial, the Patriot Pastor. And these announcements are these. Okay? We have opportunities for you to grow your faith. Okay? They're called Bible studies. All right? And Anne-Marie Rosberg is teaching the book of Luke at 6:30, Fellowship Hall, First Congregational Church. Don't be there or be square. Okay? Then on Wednesday, we are wrapping up the book of Genesis, and it's going to get exciting. We are going to see how Joseph modeled Jesus Christ in over 100 ways, because the scripture tells us that God does nothing through the ministry of his prophets except through modeling. And it's not that these models create new doctrine, but they confirm what the Word of God is, the very imprint of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be in Genesis. We're in Genesis chapter 48, I believe. And we'll eventually get to 50. You're saying, well, why are you doing 48 and then 50 and skipping 40? Because 49 we're going to reserve for last, because it's one of the most detailed prophetic chapters in the Old Testament. And so we're going to be looking at Joseph and his brothers and Jacob. And we want to invite you to 7 o'clock, Fellowship Hall, First Congregational Church. Be there or be square. Okay? And then we have alternating Bible studies. This week we will not be having our Daniel Bible study. Our good friends are going off on vacation. And so we'll allow that. That's good. Vacation is good. You know, we want to adhere to the phrase, life is good, but eternal life is better, and part of life is vacation. Okay? And so we won't be doing the Daniel Bible study this week, but in 2 weeks, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to ask the question, where's Daniel? Instead of where's Waldo, it's where's Daniel? Okay? So that's at 7 o'clock in the Proverbs house. And then the opposite Friday is the book of Acts at Kathy and Stosh. And at their house, and they're looking at, I think that's so cool, because Emily's doing Luke. They're doing Acts, and those are the two letters of Dr. Luke. And so you want to avail yourself to those Bible studies. And then this Thursday, we have CD worship. If you want more of what we just experienced earlier in the service, we have more of that for you. 7:30 here at First Congregational Church. Be there or be square. Okay? I'm thinking, do we have anything else coming up on the agenda, hon?
No. If somebody wants to make a donation to the ministry.
Yes, if you want to write a check, how do they give you a check?
Well.
Just the well? If you're writing a check, so if you don't have cash and you want to write a check, okay, then just put the well, okay? And you can put it in the donation box, and we will see that Pastor Garrett and Kathy get that blessing. And so without further ado, let us welcome the Patriot Pastor. Pastor, here, would you come?
We will have no other king but King Jesus.
Amen.
I want you to put your right hand on your heart, and I want you to repeat after me. We will have no other king but King Jesus.
We will have no other king but King Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
The premium on that, if you will, is going to be much higher in days to come than it has been, for obvious reasons. And just to make sure that nobody is in any way misguided by me or what my intentions are or what I stand for or what I believe, years ago somebody said to me, You know, you've been a good gospel preacher. You've been a good worship leader. Now you're going out and doing this patriotic thing. Don't you think you just ought to stick to preaching the gospel? To which I said, has anyone ever been in a meeting with Garrett Lear all these many years that the first thing you didn't hear from me was, we'll have no other king but King Jesus? Do I need to preach the gospel any further than that? That's pretty consistent. And just to show you what I believe, and nobody try to dissuade me from loving America. It won't work. Don't waste your breath. Don't waste your time. I love this country and I love the original intent, even with some of the horrible things that are going on and bad decisions being made by people in our government that are not consistent with our history, not consistent with God's law, against the rule of law, and so forth and so on. I want you to see this. My salute first to the Lord. My salute second to the flag of the United States of America. And you all probably know the pledge to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. Amen.
Amen.
So I think that sets a good tone to be remembered, what I believe and what I stand for. And as one person said, Garrett, one thing I can say about you. I said, what's that? He said, well, you make your positions known and you've stayed to the same positions all these many years. It's not like some people who go like this. What way is the wind blowing? That's the way I'm going. I do want to mention just briefly that today we are joining together with people all over America who are true Christians in what's called Call to Fall, concerning a stand up for marriage. And of course, standing up for marriage, traditional, natural marriage, biblical marriage, and so forth, along with other things that we stand up for, is very significant. And I remind you, just for your own personal study, and it's not my text today, not what I'm preaching from necessarily, but always on my heart, what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. Because we are reminded that the message first comes to God's people, that they will humble themselves in the sight of the Lord, repent of their sinful ways, when their ways are sinful, and God will hear their prayers from heaven and restore their land and heal their land. So keep that in mind. I'd like also to ask you, if you will, saints, draw your swords. I always tell people, I am a gun guy, I admit it. I know how to shoot them, I know how to load them, and as you saw on the green yesterday, I even know how to repair them when they're not working right. That's a good thing to know, especially when it's black powder. But this is truly the weapon that you need most to carry. It is the sword of the Spirit, as it is said of itself. So I'm going to ask you, if you'll turn with me and stand in doing that if you're able to. I know some of you have a little trouble standing, so that's no problem. I just believe that we show the respect that we have for God's Word, even amongst them. By the way, as I always say this, I ask people to do this even if they've identified themselves at meetings that I speak at, and they identify themselves as atheists or some other religion. I still ask them to stand in honor of God's Word, because I believe this is God's Word. It is the Holy Bible.
Amen.
So turn with me first to the 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 at verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 at verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 at verse 7, reading from the King James translation today. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's read it again. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We can call that PLS. Don't get that confused with PMS. And you can be seated. I'm going to use that, if you will, for the theme of this sermon, or this message, or this exhortation, however that you want to describe it today. But it's not really the text that I'm using. Today I'm going to sing you the text from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. I believe that that is our text because we are living in very difficult times where it's hard to see the road ahead. It's hard to follow the direction. And so I have to tell you what has been, in my estimation, the most great help that I've received from the Lord has been God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, the Holy Spirit. I'm a Trinitarian believer. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you that God the Holy Spirit has been a great friend to me. Many years ago, I was in a minister's meeting, a four-day minister's meeting, and I stood up and I started to go like this, God the Holy Spirit, I love you. I love you, God the Holy Spirit. I love you, God the Holy Spirit. The room was very silent. There were people of many, or ministers of many different denominations there. Later, a very prominent minister that I'd known for many years, great man of God, I thought, he said, Garrett, I have to tell you, in all my years, that's the first time I've ever heard anyone say they love God the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, David, I'm sorry that that's the case for you, but I can tell you what it has meant to me. Because God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And he will direct our paths. See, many of us spend much too much of our time looking at the pathology of the world, and there's lots of it. It is a fallen world. My colonial ancestors, Puritan and Pilgrims, as many of them were, had no misunderstanding of that fact. They saw evil. There is evil in the world. Yes, there are people that behave in evil ways. We as Christians, once we've become born again and we've gone to the Word of God, have a hard time understanding evil. Most of us do not wake up any morning of our life, and I can honestly say this as God is my witness. I have not awakened one day in my life ever looking to harm anybody, take anything from anybody, hurt anybody, or in any way keep them from being the best that they could be. As God is my witness, that is true. Amen. But that is not the way of most people of the world who live in a sinful and wicked way, in an evil way, being influenced not by the Holy Spirit, but by the unholy spirit. And that's obvious in their lives because the Lord says, know them by the fruit they bear. If you look at Matthew 7, 16 and 20, and Jesus said this, it isn't just about knowing them, what church they go to, knowing them because of some of the things we see outwardly, but knowing them by the fruit they bear. Because we all know, I mean, most of us is living in the country and farming and doing things, that a bad tree does not bear good fruit. It just doesn't happen that way. And it's the same way in the life of a Christian. And when we look at the history of America, and if you remember nothing else that the Patriot pastor has said in this wonderful Liberty weekend, and let me tell you how much I enjoy coming here. You folks have been good to me. You've loved me. You've treated me like family. That means a lot to me. It really does. Because I'm out in the public a lot, and not everybody is nearly as nice to me as you are. And not everybody treats me as family. And not everybody receives me in and prays for me and supports me and helps me to do what is being done. A number of weeks ago, my youngest daughter and my grandson went to a church in Sanford, Maine. Just happened to be First Baptist Church in Sanford, Maine. I know the pastor there, the pastors, I should say, there. And when my daughter walked in and my grandson walked in, they asked them who they were and so forth, and my daughter was glad to say, I'm Garrett Lear's daughter. And this is Garrett Lear, the Patriot pastor's grandson.
Amen.
And the pastor, one of the pastors there, said, well, we know your grandpa. We know your dad. He's ministered here before. He's ministered in our town and so forth. What he does is very important for America. And he's one of the best at doing it. Now, I'm only telling you this because I was so thankful that somebody said that to my grandson. They said it to my grandson.
Amen.
My posterity. I'm standing before you today, the posterity of people who came way before. Many of you are related by Mayflower, by colonial times and so forth and so on. You are the posterity. We are here and have enjoyed tremendous blessings, not because of all of what we've done, but because of what other people sacrificed and died for, have prayed for, and worked hard for. And I tell you, I can't not pay attention to that. Standing on Bunker Hill, speaking there on Bunker Hill a couple of weeks ago, and then before that at the Granary Cemetery. And at the Granary Cemetery, three signers of the Declaration of American Independence are buried there. And of course, Colonel Paul Revere is buried there, and I stood on his grave. We did a speech there and a musket firing. But Samuel Adams, for example, was called the last of the Puritans, the father of the American Revolution, been denigrated in many ways, as people say, oh yeah, Samuel Adams, you mean the guy that started the beer company? Now, regardless of what you think about beer and what you think about Samuel Adams' brand of beer, that's not the issue. The enemy is working overtime to disgrace our fathers, disgrace our forefathers, disgrace people. So it meant so much to me that somebody would stand in front of my daughter and my grandson and tell them, your father and your grandfather is doing a work for Jesus Christ that's important in this land, so that my posterity know what my life has been about. I don't care what happens as far as when the Lord decides to take me by death or rapture, however it is, whatever's happening with my mortal remains doesn't make any difference, but I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave to my posterity what was left to me. I'm not going to be one of those people to squander what was given to us in Americans today, many people, and I have nothing against people coming here legally as immigrants to this country, but don't break into my house, don't break into my country and be a thief. It's against the Ten Commandments and it's against what I believe. You want to come here, be an American and learn what being an American is. And you cannot learn what it is to be an American unless you look in this Bible and you look at the foundation of this country. It's impossible to. It is impossible to, and anyone that tells you other than that, send them to see me, and this is what I'm going to tell them. You're a liar. Maybe you don't know you're a liar, but you're lying. And if you don't know you're lying, I'm going to tell you you're lying. Because I know the truth of this country. I have read thousands and thousands and thousands of documents. Things like Samuel Adams saying, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Thither the righteous flee and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. He quoted that. Let us secure his favor, and he will lead us through the journey of this life, and at length receive us to a better. We've been told that our founding fathers, that they were deists, and they were this, and they were that, and they belonged to this organization, they belonged to that organization. But will somebody tell you that Samuel Adams was a strong Christian believer? And will somebody tell you that he had recognized what Scripture says in 2 Timothy 1:7, that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You think those people did not have many challenges against them, things that were horrible that they were facing? Why were they able to get through it? The miraculous hand of Almighty God, divine providence, they would have said in 18th century English, 18th century American. But they were able to get through because the Holy Spirit led them and guided them, and they spent more time looking at God's glorious design for mankind instead of the enemy's pathological evil. And unfortunately, even our brethren are very fluent in all the sins and very fluent in all the wrong things, but they're not fluent enough in the right things, and God has a design. He is almighty and He's sovereign. Was I a happy camper the other day when I told people, before the decision comes in, I said, they're going to do this, and they're going to do it before the 4th of July. That's not an accident. It's on purpose. And they're going to make a decision that we're not going to like, but it's not all over yet. I've said to some of the people, and I know it's sort of a common vernacular, it ain't over till the fat lady sings, and the fat lady ain't sung yet. And I'm not denigrating anybody's body types or anything like that. We're talking about Kate Smith, for those of you that aren't old enough, because that's what she said about herself, okay? How many remember Kate Smith? So when you say that, you need to remember this. God is almighty and He's sovereign. Nothing catches Him by surprise. This didn't surprise Him. He knew it was going to happen, and He's not done with us yet, and He's not done with America by any way, shape, or form. Remember that. We also know that some of the other signers that were there, that are buried there in the granary, signed the Declaration of American Independence. Do you know that when Samuel Adams actually signed the Declaration, what he said? He said, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men alone ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and with a propitious eye beholds the subjects, assuming that freedom of thought and dignity of self-direction which he bestowed on them from the rising to the setting sun, may his kingdom come." Both John Hancock and John Adams numerous times said, "We will have no other king but King Jesus." And that was not just because they believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because they said, "We are not going to have any more earthly kings. They've disappointed us. They've cheated us. They've been tyrants and tried to instill fear upon us." And by the way, tyrants can never accomplish their purpose unless they can make you afraid. I've had to tell a lot of people that have threatened to do surgery on my body, and they didn't even have a medical license to perform these surgeries on me, like, "I'm going to cut your I'm going to cut your I'm going to cut your I'm going to cut your You can't do that. Why can't I do it?" Well, first of all, you don't have a license to practice medicine. And second of all, the Lord God Almighty will preserve my life. And third of all, take a look at me, dude. I don't think I'm going to stand by and allow you to harm me, because I believe I have a God-given right to a self-defense. See? So intimidation is what the tyrant uses. The enemy tries to bring fear upon us. He wants us to look at all the terrible things and keep our eyes off of God's great design. And if you spend your time looking at the pathologies of the world and not at God's great design, you will become afraid. You will not know the path you're supposed to take. But God, the Holy Spirit, my friend, I love you, God, the Holy Spirit. You've guided me through a minefield of life. You've kept my eyes on God's great design instead of on the pathology of the world. And because of that, I'm not afraid. And I've had to say to some people, "Gee, are you trying to scare me? Don't waste your time." Other people have tried that. And please don't misunderstand, I am just a man like anyone else. Scary things are scary. But you see, when you look at God's great design and you let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you, just like Proverbs 5:3, verses 5, 6, and 7, the Lord will guide you. But you've got to acknowledge Him. I am so thankful to come here to this church. It's a sacred ground. It is a holy ground, and I am not saying that in any exaggeration at all. I really mean it. I believe that there's a pastor here and elders here who love the Lord and are willing to acknowledge God as who he is in public, going out on that green, which we did yesterday, which we did for the National Day of Prayer. Last year we had Sunday service out there and so forth and so on. Now maybe it was not, gee, everybody came in from the whole country for it. And by the way, the whole country has seen you. I hope I have your permission to do that. Because we videotaped, the picture has already gone across the whole country from yesterday, me standing there reading the Declaration. It was videotaped, it's recorded, as is today's work and so forth, because years ago the Lord said to me, I want you to conserve the harvest. And most of you that are farmers or have had any farming experience, you better not eat every ear of corn and every seed on that corn, or you don't have any seed for crop for next year, right? And the Lord was saying this to me, when you go out and you preach, record it, videotape it, do the best you can. And because of modern technology, we being out on the church green in front of the First Congregational Church of Otis, people all over America, if not all over the world, were seeing us. And don't you think that that encourages them to do what we were doing, to publicly acknowledge the Lord? Because remember what Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7, in all your ways, and how many? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. If you don't publicly acknowledge him, and that's why the great joy for me, it's wonderful to be in this colonial pulpit, in this colonial church today, but let me tell you something, what really meant the most to me, being out there on that green yesterday. Out there on that green in public, acknowledging him in the public. People drive by, what are those nuts doing? What are they out there doing? Playing with guns out there and whatever else, you know? Talking Bible stuff? Well, hey, I know I'm a nut, but I also know I'm screwed on the right bolt. And so people are going to call you all kind of stuff. They're going to say all kind of things to you. What do you think they said about Samuel Adams? And by the way, I don't like McCullough's book about John Adams, because he portrays Samuel Adams, the HBO movie and everything. It was pretty good and had a lot of color to it and everything else, but they made it out like Sam Adams was some madman, crazy person. That is absolutely so far from the truth, it's ridiculous. But see, people will watch the television account. They don't spend their time looking at God's great design. They don't read the Bible. They don't read historical documents. And you saw yesterday, what did it take us? 15 minutes to read the Declaration of American Independence, 1,338 words. They won't read that. They'll believe David McCullough, or they'll believe HBO, and then they'll get it mixed up. Oh, yeah, Samuel Adams, he was like a crazy person. Well, I'll tell you who thought Samuel Adams was a crazy person. The King of England. But the Patriot pastor, Garrett Lear, believes that Samuel Adams was a great man. And John Hancock and John Adams and all of them that were there. Okay? Also said, he who is void of virtuous attachments in private life is, or very soon will be, void of all regard for his country. There is seldom in an instance of a man guilty of betraying his country who had not before lost the feeling of moral obligations in his private connections. Years ago, I made the statement, if we cannot impeach and remove from office Bill Clinton with the terrible things that he did, and please, I am not a partisan. I'm not talking about Republicans and Democrats or independents or libertarians, whatever. I'm talking turkey. Oh, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. I'm talking about who did what and whatever. It's an absolute disgrace to think that the commander-in-chief, when we had soldiers in Somalia who are being chopped up with machetes, and he is violating his oath of office in the White House, and we couldn't even remove him. And I said it at the time, if we can't remove him and fire him from his job, we're in big trouble. And it's come down to what it is now. But am I forlorn? Am I afraid? No, I'm not. Because I'm not going to spend my time looking at that pathology. I'm going to look at God's great design. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit... You know, you read through the book of Acts. I'm glad that you're having a book of Acts study. And David Crapser, I guess, has been studying the book of Acts that he's going to present to an internship that he's doing. I was so thankful for that, because, you know, what the book of Acts is. They call it the Acts of the Apostles, but that's really a misnomer. It's the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles.
Amen.
And the Acts of the Holy Ghost today, through the saints of God at First Congregational Church at Otis, or the saints of God wherever that they may be, a saint of God wherever that he is, and wherever she is, that the Holy Ghost is still doing those things. So we read through the book of Acts, and it says, when the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the Holy Ghost shall be in you, you'll do great and mighty deeds. And you take an ordinary person, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, with them not being afraid, and them moving in the power, love, and sound mind that the Holy Ghost gives, and following and acknowledging the Lord in public, as Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7 says, that person can do amazing things. Do I really think that George Washington was different than a lot of you? Do I really think that Samuel Adams or John Adams or anything else? Well, my grandma used to say all the time, they all put their pants on one leg at a time. And she was a godly woman, but she's a New Englander too. And we New Englanders, we have our ways of saying stuff. You know, some people think it's verbally abusive in other parts of the country. We don't. I always tell people, you thought about verbal abuse? I didn't know it was verbal abuse. I didn't think of it that way. When my father would say, you don't know this from that or whatever else. Well, that's just the way we talk around here. See? And so when you think about these men and these women, and I have to always mention women too, because there were founding mothers who were significant people. Mercy Otis Warren, Abigail Adams, for example, a whole lot of them. Why were they able to do what they were able to do? Because they were such different people than the rest of us, made of a different dirt of the earth. And by the way, didn't God take the dust of the earth and Adam and join that together and then blow his breath of life into him and he became a living being? So we're all descended from Adam and Eve. So we're all pretty much the same in that respect. But what changes somebody from being an ordinary person to being an extraordinary person? The power of the Holy Spirit working in them.
Amen.
To lead them and guide them. And if you want the power of God the Holy Spirit to work in you, you must publicly acknowledge the Lord. And he will direct your path. And of course, in doing that, he will also bestow you with power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. Every single one of you are powerful in the things of the Holy Spirit, regardless of where you came from, what family you came from, what family you thought you should come from, and whatever else. The Lord equalizes all of that for those who will come before him. I don't deserve to be the Patriot pastor. I don't deserve to do these things. My mother telling me the history of our family and so forth, God only knows why I was able to remember that. It's just a small boy. Well, no, I wasn't a small boy. A young boy. I never was small. When I came out, I said, Mama. But I remembered the things that she told me about our family. And I said, how in the world could I remember this? Being as young as I was, and my mother telling me this while she's vacuuming the carpet, you know, and I'm following her around, and she's telling me these things, and I later checked it out. And I stood in front of the Lexington Minutemen, and I used to walk by there and say, the Lexington Minutemen, one day I'm going to grow up and be like him. And one day I grew up and I became like him. See?
Amen.
Because the Lord has a manifest destiny for this country and for you. Every single one of you, if you will yield to him. And if you will let the Holy Spirit lead you, guide you, and empower you, and you will cast your eyes like just like we were singing. We sang the right songs. And by the way, it was beautiful worship. And by the way, we sang it in good ways. Some people sing songs like this. I cast my eyes upon Jesus. I look full in his wonderful sight. Come on. I saw you at that football game the other night. You weren't yelling like that. Put some enthusiasm in it. Let the Holy Spirit inhabit you and sing that out. And let me tell you something. That is true spiritual weaponry. The devil hates it. One of the other people buried there in the granary who was a signer of the Declaration of American Independence was Robert Treat Paine from Massachusetts. He was a military chaplain. He became Attorney General of Massachusetts and also a judge. He said, "I desire to bless and praise the name of God Most High for appointing me my birth in a land of gospel light." Did you hear that?
Amen.
A land of gospel light? We're not a Christian nation in America. You don't have it right. Oh, excuse me. A guy who signs the Declaration of American Independence was a chaplain in the Continental Army. He was a judge and an attorney general. And he said, "I desire to bless and praise the name of God Most High for appointing me my birth in a land of gospel light, where the glorious tidings of a Savior and of pardon and salvation through Him have been continually sounding in my ears."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
This sounds like Christian to me.
Yeah.
You don't mind if I get enthusiastic, right?
Get enthusiastic.
I don't know how to do it any other way. "I'm constrained to express my adoration of the Supreme Being, the author of my existence, in full belief of His providential goodness and His forgiving mercy revealed to the world through Jesus Christ, through whom I hope for never-ending happiness in a future state. I believe the Bible to be the written Word of God and contain in it the whole rule of faith and manners." This country was founded by people who believed in the Bible and believed in Jesus Christ and His salvation, and they prayed.
Amen. That's right.
And by the way, if you look at the pictures in the video that will go up on our website for me speaking on the platform in front of the Bunker Hill Monument on Bunker Hill Day this year, you will see people looking at me. Because I read this to them. I read these things to them. And for people who love the Lord, it's hallelujah. And for people who don't love the Lord, it's uh-oh. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that everybody is called in the same way to do certain things. But I can tell you one thing. There's only one thing you cannot do and please the Lord in. You cannot do nothing and please the Lord. You must do something. And many of you are already, and I'm going to challenge you, do some more. Do some more. Challenge other people out there, because when one man stands up, he stiffens other men's spines. Very important. John Hancock, also buried there in the granary, also one of the signers, as you know, the first one that signed, and he said, "Hey, wait a minute. I want to be the first one to sign. All the rest of you get back. I'm going to be the first one to sign. I want to have a 50,000 pieces of silver bounty on my head, and I'm signing it nice and large so the King of England doesn't even have to wear specs when he reads my book." Come and get it. In circumstances dark as these, it becomes us as men and Christians to reflect that whilst every prudent measure should be taken to ward off the impending judgments, all confidence must be withheld from the means we use and reposed only on the God who rules in the armies of heaven and without whose blessing and best human counsels are but foolishness and all created power vanity. We have these things that are in our records. Do you know that in the Second War for American Independence, which is otherwise known as the War of 1812, the British came, they wanted us back. "We ain't coming back. We don't want to come back. We won the first time, and by the way, if you keep coming back, we're going to win every other time you keep coming back too, because we've declared our independence from you and our total dependence on Almighty God." When I read the Declaration of American Independence, I'm reading the Declaration of Total Dependence on God Almighty. And it says so in the document. And so we have to recognize the fact when the War of 1812, they came to burn the White House. And you know what else they wanted to do? They wanted our foundational documents with the original wedding signatures to destroy those documents so the world would not be able to see them. You know how many people across this world come to the Smithsonian and places like that to see some of our original documents? Because they've never heard of such a thing in their country. They've never seen such a thing in their country. Don't take for granted what the Lord has done for you. You can't. If you do, you're not passing on to your posterity what's been given to you. Pray that the light of the gospel and the rights of conscience may be continued to the people of the United States, and that His holy word may be improved by them, so that the name of God may be exalted and their own liberty and happiness secured, that He would be graciously pleased to bless our federal government, that by a wise administration it may be a sure guide and safe protection in national concerns to the people who have established and who support it, that He would continue to us the invaluable blessings of civil liberty, guarding us against intestine commotions and enabling the United States in the exercise of such governmental powers as devolved from them, so that the honor and dignity of our nation upon the seas and on the land may be supported, and peace with other powers of the world upon safe and honorable terms be maintained. Samuel Adams said that too. Anybody in this country that thinks that we're going to maintain civil liberty or any kind of liberty without biblical Christianity is brain dead. You see, I sort of speak evangelistically, not exaggerating, but cutting to the chase. We get a lot of brain dead people living around us. They think that Islam would maintain civil liberty. Not so. Oh, or Hindus will maintain civil liberty. You mean the people who tell people you're a delete and you're going to get deleted? You're not worth anything? Or the Buddhists that set themselves on fire with gasoline and all kind of weird things like that? Now please, I'm not trying to denigrate anybody. Many people have sincere beliefs, but how many of you know that sincerity is not a mark of truth? There are many people that are sincerely wrong. Especially when you look at the fact, you look at scripture, you look at the historical record and the things that these people said. Were they under the special anointing of the Holy Spirit to say those things? If I did not tell you that what I just read came from Samuel Adams, many of you would walk out of here and you'd say that I said it. And it would be easy enough to believe, because I do say stuff like that all the time, everywhere I go. But I gave you the historical reference because I want to prove to people Americans have every right to believe that our country is a Christian nation, even though right now we've been behaving ourselves not so well. But the challenge to us who are believers, who are being led of the Holy Spirit, who are not going to move in fear, but are going to move in power, love, and a sound mind, and we're going to acknowledge God publicly and show our love for the Holy Spirit who's going to guide us through the minefield of life, that we're going to turn the temperature up until not only do they see the light, but they feel the heat. And many times that's what it takes to see a change in history. You know, we, in this Liberty Weekend, we've talked about a lot of different things. I made mention of the fact that aside from biblical Christianity, there is no such thing as civil liberty. History has proven that. And our founding fathers, if they really believed, because they were wise enough and very studied people, some of them graduated from college at 14 years old, they knew a lot of things. And when they were in the positions of representing, and there were thousands of founding fathers and thousands of founding mothers, we just center on a few hundred. particularly the prominent ones that signed the Declaration and things of that nature, that signed the Constitution. Those were more the national leaders. There were many local leaders, town leaders who believed these very same things. But if we look at what they were saying and what they were doing, they certainly understood what it was. If they're going to see the light, they're going to have to feel the heat first. And so the heat, and I can tell you, and Pastor Nelson and I were talking, and he said, you know, we thought about the fact that we didn't want our church turned into a house of merchandise. And so we said, we don't want to have on the green here that belongs to the church, we don't want to have merchandise going on. And a lot of people wouldn't understand that. And I said to him, you know what? That's a great stance to take, that you believe that so much. Because many of the churches of America today have been nothing but a commercial interest and a business. We're not a business. The church is the church. It's not a business. And don't get me wrong, I'm a great believer in American business. And I pray a special blessing on every single one of you. I know many of you are in business. I pray that your business in these hard times will prosper like no other business prospers. Because you've learned the principle of acknowledging God publicly, loving Him, letting the Holy Spirit lead you, and being generous and hardworking. And believe me, faith without works is dead. So when we say as native New Englanders, and we know about work, we know you got to get the hay in, you make hay while the sun shines, or you're in trouble. Faith without works is dead. So if you're a hard worker, and you're acknowledging God, and you're generous, the Lord will continue to prosper you in ways that they're going to see the light, but they're going to feel the heat. Businesses that go out of business, yours won't. Am I saying this as a prophecy? I am. Because in these difficult times, the Lord is going to do some things with the people who are willing to acknowledge Him. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear their prayers from heaven. Then will I heal their land. That is not a message to the rank heathen sinner in the world. It's a message to us today. We talked about liberty. We said liberty, the state of being, free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's view and way of life. There is no true liberty. And as Pastor quoted it this morning from 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Holy Spirit is given place, where God the Father is given place, where God the Son is given place, that's where liberty is.
Amen.
Are we not surprised by the fact that there is a liberty in certain places? Because, and I remember years ago, and somebody mentioned it to me the other night, Ann Graham Lotz, that lovely woman, said, why are you so surprised at what happened at Columbine High School? We told God to take a hike. He wasn't welcome there. Well, I'll tell you what, He's welcome here, isn't He? He's welcome on that green out there. He's welcome here in Otis. And you can be sure that when Henry Knox, that bookseller from Boston, came through here, and by the way, he read those books. That's why he became a great general. He was a short, heavy-set fellow, a guy you never think of as a warrior. He became a great general because he'd been reading all those books. The same as you can be a great general in God's army if you'll read this book.
Amen.
And you'll study this book. And you will put this book in your heart, as Psalm 119, verse 11 says, Thy word have I placed in my heart, O Lord, that I would not, what? Sin against Thee. Well, if you're not sinning against Him, then you're standing up for Him. And that's so important. There's not a single instance in history in which civil liberty was lost and religious liberty preserved entire. If therefore we yield up our temporal property, we at the same time deliver the conscience into bondage. And that was said by one of the signers of the Declaration, John Witherspoon, who was a direct descendant of John Knox. And he said of the Declaration of American Independence and the War for American Independence, if I thought in any way, shape, or form this document of the Declaration or this war for independence did anything at all to defame biblical Christianity, I would kill it as a baby in the cradle. And he wasn't endorsing abortion. He was metaphorically saying, this revolution is righteous cause in the sight of God.
Hallelujah.
I was a fan of George Patton. I liked him. I didn't know him personally. I met his grandson, Robert, and boy, did he bless him. He said, you know what? If my grandfather knew you, he'd like you. Wow. Yeah, that's cool. If we take the generally accepted definition of bravery as a quality which knows not fear, I have never seen a brave man. All men are frightened. The more intelligent they are, the more they are frightened. The courageous man is a man who forces himself, in spite of his fear, to carry on. And George Patton read the Bible, by the way, so I'm sure he knew 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, of sound mind. When you have that kind of knee-knocking, I feel like I'm going to wet my pants kind of fear, that's not from the Lord. It's from the enemy. Because the Lord says, you look at my design and not the pathology of this world. I will guide you through the minefield of life if you'll acknowledge me like that, and you won't be afraid. You'll be courageous. Four times in the first chapter of the book of Joshua, what does it say? Be of good courage. 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 Now, why do you think the Lord had to repeat himself four times in one chapter? That's because, obviously, we, in our weakened form, in our natural state, would be afraid. The enemy comes at us that way. That's why we're told in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, which is spiritual warfare. You talk about Holy Ghost power, that's spiritual warfare. What are we told to do? Raise your shield of faith and repel the fiery darts of the enemy. Don't raise your shield of faith and have those stick in your head, and you'll find out what fear is. My Bible literacy is something like that. Is that what that's about? I also get to share with you something that last night Pastor was talking up here with a friend of mine, and he was talking about the things that the Lord is doing throughout different denominations, throughout the world, throughout our country. On February 21st, New Hampshire's Governor John Langdon set a day of fasting. And he said in that, and I'm just going to cut to the chase on it, he said, and spread abroad the knowledge of the true God, the Savior of man. In 1787, at the Constitutional Convention, the 55 writers of the U.S. Constitution, 26 were Episcopalian Christians, 11 Presbyterian Christians, quite a number of seven Congregationalist Christians, two Lutheran Christians, two Dutch Reformed Christians, two Methodist Christians, two Quaker Christians, two Roman Catholic Christians, and Dr. Franklin, who called for prayer at the Constitutional Convention, saying, in the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Anyone who tells you he's a deist, that's not the statement of a deist. Okay? He might not have liked organized Christianity too well. He was raised as a Presbyterian and a Quaker. He had good reason not to in some respects. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessing on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business. As I said, our founding fathers did not, and framers, did not pull out of thin air these documents. Through history and their understanding, especially through Scripture, and many of them could read the Bible in Hebrew and Greek and Latin, and they studied and they searched the Scriptures. They wanted to do what was right. I want to do what's right. And I know I can't do what's right except the Holy Spirit help me to keep my eyes. I turn my eyes upon you, Jesus. I look full in your wonderful face, and the things of earth, they grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and your grace. The hand of providence has been so conspicuous in all this, the course of the war, that he would be worse than an infidel that lacks faith. Stand with me. Needless to say, I would be glad to go on and on and on. No one has ever accused me of not having anything to say. I am part Irish and Scottish, and one day an aunt said to me, "Dear, I think you've kissed the Blarney Stone." But in my childhood, at 6 years old, God called me to serve him and to preach the gospel at six. I didn't even know what that was then. I had an inkling of it. Every one of you, the Lord has called you to do something. And I want to pray over you a blessing and a release that you will do that and not waste any more time doing it. I often will say things that sometimes people don't get. Like, "Excuse me, I got to get going, I'm burning daylight." At 67 years old, I recognize I've burned more daylight than I'll probably have. So I appreciate so much your prayers. Help me to get where I need to go, be where I need to be, speak to who I need to, and thankfully, being that I have a lot of military background and whatever, I've always given honor to them that honor is due, as the Bible says. I've saluted those who should be having a salute and so forth and so on. But I'm not afraid to talk to anybody. I don't care if they think they're a king, they're an emperor, or they're a president or whatever. I won't show them disrespect in public. But if I get alone with them, I'm going to remind them of something. I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I have to be responsible for that.
Amen.
You know this song? "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I prove you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for the grace to trust you more. Oh, for the grace to trust you more." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the commission that you have given us to preach the gospel. We thank you that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And we're not disappointed that people might say that we're a peculiar people, because you said it already, that those that acknowledge you publicly, you will guide them and show them. We don't wander around as people with no direction. We're coming from somewhere, and oh Lord, we know we're going somewhere. We thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in your blood, Jesus, because we trust you as Lord and Savior. We thank you for this beloved country of America, that we have had the blessing, just like the statement of Robert Tree Payne, a gospel country, a gospel light country, even though right now the light's kind of dim, the windows are kind of dirty. But Lord, you have said, get in and clean that stable. Help us, we pray, Holy Spirit, to keep our eyes on the hills from whence cometh our salvation, on your great design, and rather than the pathology of the world. We thank you, Lord, for your abundance of grace. For each and every one of the people here, many are dealing with health problems. Let them be healed. In Jesus' name we pray. Many are dealing with family problems. Let those problems be healed in Jesus' name. Many are dealing with financial problems. Let those things be healed in Jesus' name. Many are carrying burdens that they've carried for too long. Set them down in Jesus' name now. And leave them at the altar. And don't pick them up and take them again. We thank you, Lord, that in you, that we can be fulfilled in no other way. And for our country right now, as we're at a crossroads in many respects, just like the Tower of Babel and so forth, let those people who will not turn from their wicked ways, let them be removed, and let them be replaced by good men and good women who will acknowledge you publicly. And thank you for your abundant blessing on this church. Let it continue. Let every seat be full with all the ministries that are coming out of here. Let them more and more come as people are saying, what is happening there on that green, what's happening in that colonial church? And the truth of the matter is, they're acknowledging Almighty God. And people are coming because there are people who have a hungry heart and they'll hear the gospel here and see the gospel here. We praise you. We thank you for that. In Christ's name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Someone has stolen my country. I didn't sell her, and I didn't give her away. And what? We want her back now.